Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Oh.
We are live from the Geico Studios. No baseball today. So to fill that void, Brock Osweiler retired from the National Football League. Hey, it's a good day. No baseball games take away. I'm retiring from the NFL.
Not a bad deal. I mean, does he go into the XFL? You know, day two of the XFL draft today. Does he get relegated somewhere?
I think not getting drafted on day one might have been the sign that he needed to say, you know what, maybe it's time for me to go.
Well, I mean, $43 million career earnings.
He did well.
He
did
was
well.
Smart, and I hope he was. He should live several lifetimes and then some.
He looked like the bad guy from a teen movie who was the real smart, preppy guy who the good girl was dating, and you find out at the end that he's been cheating on her the whole time, and then the hero
who's
not quite as good looking, you know, wins the girl over.
I mean, that's I feel like I now want to go through and figure out which movie or amalgam of movies that is.
He just spoiled every Disney movie.
It's a combination of like Adventures in Babysitting and Karate Kid and you know a few of those. But like the good-looking preppy guy is like, the hot girl dance. James Spader in 16 Candles.
You know, Whenever you can get Spader, that's all good.
That's kind of Brock Osweiler. So happy trails, Brock Osweiler. Tonight, the show will be dedicated to you.
Nobody's going to miss him.
Millions and millions of dollars you stole. Earned.
No, that's a term in sports and in life in general that irks me to no end.
Earned.
It's fact. If he costs bettors millions.
No, but if somebody pays you, right, if someone's willing to pay the cash, why are you the bad guy? Why is it put on you like you flee someone? No, go after ownership.
Because
go after GM.
Secure the bag.
Go after all the dopes that gave that bag of money away.
Well, you're getting paid to perform. You're not getting paid just to get paid. No one's going to give you money, but they gave
it on potential. Yeah. And they obviously misjudged your potential.
Sure. So did you a little bit.
No. Yeah. You went into the field to play, and you got hired. What is it? The Peter Principle, right? You get hired to your level of ineptitude. Right? Oh, this guy's got potential. He's got potential. And then you hit that job. It's like, too far. Brock Osweiler was just a bit too far.
Okay.
He was a bit over his skis.
I think he was a tiny bit more than that over his skis.
No, hey.
Remember Wide World of Sports that opened where the guy goes down and he flips? I think that's where Brock Osweiler was.
Several years that he stayed in the NFL. You've had multiple people decide that he was good enough to hang around. Why is that on Brock Osweiler?
We're going way too long on Osweiler.
Well, Harmon apparently has a thing
His
for Osweiler.
His career wasn't even this long.
I mean,
it's not just on Osweiler. It's the general statement of, that guy's stealing money.
I think Harmon,
call me with a hot take.
I think Harmon and Osweiler have something going on. Like, hey, you know, say good things about me. I'll help you out. I'll give you, you know, fantasy
tips.
Yes, because
he's got a lot of clout going on.
He does. Hey, you don't know? I don't know. I don't know what you have going on with Brock Osweiler off the air. I don't know what kind of
business. I'm not putting up with this. I'm about to say,
I don't know what kind of business interests you have. I was going to make a LeBron James China joke, but Tyshirt decided, I haven't played this yet tonight, so that's where we're going.
Tell you, just damaging my reputation
and character. If I Google Harmon and Osweiler attorneys at law, what's going to come up?
I'll tell you one thing that doesn't come up.
What's that?
Osweiler throwing a touchdown.
A big day of NFL news today, quarterback-wise, not just Brock Osweiler retiring to go hang out with Mike Harmon in the afternoons, but Roger Goodell in Fort Lauderdale today. During the fall meetings, had a couple of very interesting things to say about the future of the National Football League. We got quarterback news coming up in a few minutes, but when it comes to the NFL right now, we are in the midst of a season that a big part of it is being known for teams that are tanking, Miami Dolphins, who are trying to just play young players in an effort to get draft capital, make moves so they can get better a year from now, 2 years from now, and get a high enough pick this year to draft Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts, whatever quarterback you want, Justin Herbert.
Maybe Chase Young.
Sure, could be. Could be Chase Utley. Why not? Could be Neil Young. Could be Chase Neil Young Utley.
I talked about somebody legitimate.
I did. Well, Chase Utley's legitimate. So is Neil
Young. Playing football?
So, you know, what about Neil Young? He's not legitimate?
He's not playing football.
TJ, Mike Harmon definitely not under a harvest moon as he speaks tonight, TJ. So Roger Goodell addressed tanking in the National Football League, which has now become kind of a thing. Tanking in the NFL is where tanking in the NBA was about 3 or 4 years ago. It's not quite to the outspoken, hey, half the league is trying to do it like it is now in the NBA, but it's where the NBA was a few years ago. But as Roger Goodell said today, tanking, it's nothing like that.
It is part of the discussions. You know, we've had very fruitful discussions on it, discussing the positive and negatives, the changes to the game that we've made over the last 10 years. And I think those changes have made a significant impact in a positive way. And so that is something that we'll continue to discuss, and it may or may not be part of whatever we ultimately decide.
So he says, I don't think the league has ever been more competitive than it is today. You see that in teams going from last to first in dramatic fashion. For us, the competitiveness of our game is obviously critical. I don't think it's solved with a draft lottery. I think it's solved by all the issues we try to deal with on a regular basis through the competition committee. So Goodell has already thrown out there's going to be no draft lottery to try to get rid of tanking, but he's naive if he thinks this isn't coming to the NFL. First of all, it's already here, but it's not quite over the top like it was, like it is now in the National Basketball Association. It is harder to tank in the NFL because teams put so much into every week preparation. Your body's on the line.
Except the Jets.
Well, no. If we tried to tank, we've done a bad job at it. But it's not something that is going to go away now that NFL teams are realizing it doesn't pay to be mediocre. NBA teams realized a few years ago, doesn't pay to be mediocre. Doesn't pay to win 35 games and not get a good draft pick and be stuck. If we're going to miss the playoffs and be bad, we got to be top three bad so we can get good players and we can compete and we can sell more season tickets and we can make more money. It's harder in the NFL because of the physicality and the scrutiny on the National Football League, which is 17 Sundays a year in the regular season. Tanking is going to evolve in a different way. Teams are going to get rid of tangible resources, players, in the offseason for draft capital. There will be a much more active trade deadline in which players are going to be dealt, star players who are coming up that a team is not going to re-sign and we need to start getting draft picks, or here's a guy that has first round type talent but we'll get a third round pick for him. That's how it's going to be. That's how tanking is going to go, because they're going to try to continue to get resources by giving away star players, which means for a much more open and active offseason and a much more active trade deadline. Watching the Dolphins do it now, and they've already accumulated this year three more first round picks. They got three in the next couple of years. They have three first round picks, three second round picks. They've accumulated a lot of draft capital. They're the 76ers of the NFL now. This is going to work for them because they're going to wind up sucking this year. They're going to draft Tua Tagovailoa. They're going to get a couple more starters. They have a couple more first round picks, and suddenly the future is great in Miami. And that's when many other teams say, this is where we have to follow. And then it'll be more out in the open, where there's going to be a few teams going, well, we start out the season bad, we're just done. We're tanking, and we're going to trade our guys at the deadline, and that's how we're moving on.
Yeah, but they become the lab rat for the NFL in this respect, in that you got to prove that you can actually do it, right? Because how many trades are now involved? What, you need a second number one? It's like stock options. How many do you want? Right, back in the day. I'm not going to give you any salary, but here's another stack of paper that might be worth something in 4 or 5 years. That's what we're doing now with draft picks and the Jalen Ramsey trade. We talked about it yesterday. It's like, all right, it's 2 ones. For Trent Williams, they're saying, we're not going to field any offers. But someone comes with 3, 4 ones. I mean, they're just printing them. We're seeing them being traded all the time at this point, that a lot of teams are just saying, you know what, I'll take the proven commodity. Now, the Rams did it without having a contract in place, which is going to come back to screw them, giving, you know, there is still such a thing as a salary cap in this National Football League, in case they didn't get the notice. and they've already got a disheveled offensive line, and if you're going to give away a $15 million piece there just to give Jalen Ramsey money, that doesn't help Jared Goff. But that's a discussion for another time. But as we look at the Miami Dolphins, okay, you have a lot of draft capital. Are you going to get right? Sure, you set the clock where you've got a five-year window under the current CBA with Tua or whatever quarterback they choose, Herbert or whomever that is. But everything else has to fall in place, right? You have to be drafting well.
Right, but the other teams are going to see these guys go, and they're going to say, oh, they got it. They did it right. No, regardless to how Tua turns out or anybody else they take in the first couple rounds, they're always going to think we know how to do it right. So if we tank like they did, we're going to get the right guys. And plus, after the Dolphins do it and you see guys for a year or two, it's not like suddenly they're all going to stink and you have to turn the page on them. It's going to be a rough first year. Tua's going to get to the NFL. Maybe he takes things over. Maybe he needs some time like Jared Goff. I don't know what kind of prospect he's going to be just
maybe
quite
they
yet.
Bring Dan Marino back.
Maybe Dan Marino.
Could be that.
Maybe Ray Finkel will come back. Maybe Einhorn will come back. Maybe Finkel and Einhorn will come back.
Right. But for Roger Goodell to say that it isn't existent is disingenuous, right? We're all watching how that team was constructed this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's awful. I mean, you look, they haven't done it yet in Cincy, but we've got a few days till the trade deadline. AJ Green, how you feeling over there? You ready to come back and play? You're gone. I mean, you're moving on from Andy Dalton at some point here. I mean, there's anything that's a discernible asset is going to be dealt. We're going to see more trades in the next week and a half. There's no question about that. It's just how many and what the asking price is. Again, because at this point, a lot of teams going, number one pick? What do you think? We're drafted at least 20th, right? Gone. Right, even Pittsburgh. They tried to make the move, and they bring in Fitzpatrick. Wasn't going to save the season, but maybe Devlin Hodges will.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Well,
the idea was at the time, they thought, hey, we can still compete, and Rudolph's going to get cleared, and he'll be back under center and whatever else. But you look around the AFC, and you got a muddled mess beyond those first two or three teams, right? You got Houston, Kansas City, depending on which you like, and the Patriots sitting atop the pile. And then it's a lot of teams that look awfully similar.
Yeah.
So if you think you can still punch through and get, you know, have a chance at the playoffs, then you're still rolling it over and say, here's my number one pick. Most teams
there's going to be enough teams that are going to say, this is not our year. We can move on. We have to start over again. We're not playing well. That's just how it's going to evolve. And in two or three years, the NFL is going to be where the NBA was a few years ago. And then it's going to be, how do we fix tanking? Because now six or seven teams openly are going to be doing it. Right now, it's a couple. And you can always tamp it down when it's a couple. But now then it's going to be a few, and you're going to see all kinds of assets trade.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We have what's next for LeBron James coming up in about 12 minutes as the Lakers are putting a pacing on the Warriors right now. 114-82.
Get used to it.
5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But yesterday, I wasn't nervous about the Yankees. They didn't play today.
Your Yankees.
Not my, no, my
no,
dad's
No, you did
Yankees.
Jump on that.
My dad's
your Yankees.
Yankees.
You were,
well, I picked
you
them
were,
to win.
Well,
I had to pick one team to win. I picked the Yankees to win.
And you were worried about Walt.
I'm always worried about
Walt's mental health as related to the exploits of the 2019 New York Yankees.
We're playing golf tomorrow. That's all he's going to talk about is this game. Oh, we're not going to win. We're going to... I wasn't worried last night, but I'm worried about them now. Why? There was no game. Yes, because there was no game. Game four gets rained out, which we thought was a possibility. Storms in New York all day today and at night. So game four gets pushed to tomorrow. Why is this a big deal? Today was supposed to be a bullpen game for both teams. The Yankees are going to go to a bullpen game. Likely Chad Green was going to start, give way to the Yankees bullpen. And that was going to be how they navigated the game today.
I'm excited to watch the rest of the series. I could do without the bullpen.
We dodge a bullet so far.
Yeah.
But the Astros are going with a bullpen game as well.
Come on, Ucurdy was ready.
That clearly was an advantage for the New York Yankees because the Yankees starting pitching is not very good. They just want their guys to get through four innings and get to the bullpen where they can bring in five lights-out relievers. That was playing to the Yankees' strength today. It's not for the Astros' strength, which is let's get seven innings out of a great starting pitcher, a couple innings out of the bullpen, and we win. The Astros were playing from a deficit today. The Yankees were playing from an advantage. The Yankees would have won today. They would have put a hurting on the Astros relief pitchers. They would have won this game, and now we're looking at game five tied 2-2. Now that this game is rained out, all the starting pitchers get pushed up. And was Zach Greinke good in game one? No, but Zach Greinke is still Zach Greinke. So now it's going to be Zach Greinke and Justin Verlander, and the series could be over before the Yankees get to another point where they need a bullpen game, Houston does, out of one of their starters. This is a huge disadvantage now for the Yankees because they didn't get to play today.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes Mother Nature doesn't cooperate, and now you just have to go figure it out, right? You got travel days that get lost in the process. You have all of this in terms of the schedule being condensed, and meanwhile, you've got the Nationals just on vacation. I mean, they're just chilling. But you look at the Houston Astros. I mean, Urquidy had 40 innings pitched during the year, strikeout per inning, 3.95 ERA. No saying that he might not have been able to steal you five or six, maybe, wishing, wanting, hoping. Maybe that's me being too optimistic. I don't know. Yankee bats went silent back-to-back days. So while there might be a breakout in there, maybe not. Maybe they've now just hit a bad stretch. I don't know. Certainly not extending at bats the same way that they have during the year. They've got to change the approach a little bit. I know you always say, hey, that's who they are. That's how they were built, right? When the Dodgers went down, it's like, you know, sometimes you have to adjust.
Now, I'm being told, Tyshirt, we have somebody on the line that wants to weigh in on this.
So we have a special guest.
Okay.
He heard about your flipping and flopping constantly with your picks for teams because
Wait,
somebody gets knocked off.
Not constantly.
It's pretty constant.
Did he flip or flop?
Well, see, that's the thing is he wants to break it down for you, Jason. You want to take a guess who this is?
I don't know who it is. Who is it?
It rhymes with Rob Parker.
It's Rob Parker.
No, it rhymes with Rob Parker.
Come on, Jason! It's Bob Marker.
It's close. You
Dave
hear it?
Parker.
Dave
the Cobra?
Cobra, yeah.
Let's take a listen now.
All right.
Or you can flop that and you can flip this. You may flip, you may flop, or you may flip-flop.
That's pretty good advice.
Yeah.
About right.
Bob Barker.
Legend.
Yes.
Bob Barker.
Still wish I'd ripped off part of one of those curtains when I saw the old set that was still decorated from 1973.
I'd like to see a show done on the radio that Bob Barker co-hosts with Rob Parker. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool.
I think he'd be fighting in a matter of
Yeah, he would punch
seconds.
Rob Parker out like he was Happy Gilmore.
This is Bob Barker with Travis Barker and Rob Parker.
Travis Barker's
he's
over
just playing the drums,
playing the drums
on everything.
In the corner.
No, I'm not flipping. I said it last night. I was not worried about the Yankees.
Your Yankees.
The bullpen game today was going to go the Yankees' way. And now, the thing is for the Yankees, they're looking at two starting pitchers. They get past these and keep the series going. Then the pressure heads to the Astros because then they have to decide, do we want to do a bullpen game in game six?
Right.
Or do we want to bring Gerrit Cole back on short rest? He's never pitched on short rest in his MLB career. And as good as he is, that's a big question mark. So the Yankees have to navigate these next two games, and if they get in down 3-2 before the last two games, they're still in a good spot because then the Astros, one of those games has to be a bullpen game. So the Yankees have to be thinking, we're going to win one of those games if that's game five. But that's what the Yankees have to get to. They get through these two games, but right now I'm not feeling good about them because this 2-2 where they should be after today, instead it's 2-1 and they're facing an uphill battle.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the postseason for Greinke, six innings pitch, three earned runs, two home runs in that 7-0 defeat to get the thing started. I mean, that's not a bad start. Not a terrible start, but if your offense doesn't show up at all, you know, it comes back on you. Brad looked at almost like Clayton Kershaw's stat line from game two of their series. But against Tampa is where he really got roughed up. Couldn't survive the fourth, giving up six earned runs. So has not been necessarily the same pitcher that you expect. One awful, one middling start. I've got to imagine that you get more towards the better Greinke in this next one, but this is a matter of the approach of the Yankees. Can they find their stride? You're certainly no easy at-bats, but they've made it a lot easier on these pitchers.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
We have more in the NFL coming up in about 20 minutes. Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated senior writer and insider, stops by. We have all kinds of NFL quarterback news to get to. We'll take a look at the Chiefs-Broncos game tomorrow. Are the Chiefs really in trouble? I think they are. But right now, NBA preseason, yes, the Knicks lost. All right, so just kidding, the Knicks lost.
All that hope, all that excitement, everything. You're at the edge of your chair. Look at Knicks, and then they lose.
Well, losing to the Hawks is never fun. You like to think they can at least win in the preseason, but it's still the preseason. It's okay.
No. You can't reverse course. An hour ago, you were all, I'll take any win, and now it's like, it's preseason.
Yeah, because that's the best part of preseason. I want to win, but then you lose, and it's not that big a deal. That's the whole part of it.
The outcome will always be the same, though. But that's the thing, right? It's you play as you practice, and they're playing like losers.
Well, I mean, some... Wow, it was very succinctly put there, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know.
Meanwhile, Lakers-Warriors Part 2. Los Angeles leads Golden State right now 25-11 in the first quarter. Lakers still have played all their starters. Right? They haven't gone to the bench. Everybody's in. LeBron James playing tonight after not playing the previous game and making all kinds of headlines the past couple of days, I'm sure LeBron would like to avoid. LeBron's got 5. Anthony Davis has 5 in 8 minutes. He looks pretty healthy. Remember, his thumb was... In the beginning, going to keep him out for a long time, but now here he is back playing and looks to be on track, ready for opening night. Doesn't look like he's having any problems.
Well, evidently they went and found Gary Vee and said, can you rig something together for his hand?
Hey, can you give him a new thumb? We're just going to
figure this out.
Gary Vee's vanished.
I'm sure there's plenty of folks that would love to volunteer a thumb if it means Anthony Davis is going to play well.
Oh, Laker fans would sign up in a second. Yeah. Take my thumb for Anthony Davis.
But in the opening minutes, he did hit the cord pretty hard and immediately on social media, and you can almost hear the gasps.
Yes.
No!
Is he all right? Oh. So everything looks all right for the Lakers right now, but for LeBron James, 3 of the worst days of his career are now blending into one another after his stance on the Daryl Morey NBA in China situation, which has been raging for the past couple of weeks. To go forward on this, because LeBron says he's done speaking about the NBA in China, I'll tell you exactly what LeBron James can say that would win favor with everybody. People would be able to put this to bed and move on. I always tell you, my best thing I can do with it, besides being a sports talk radio host, TV guy, whatever it is, you know, adult film actor, would be to be a PR advisor. All right,
I'm going
to
eat that ass up. I was just going to let that hang out there.
I would be the best consultant. Say, listen, you've really screwed up and had diarrhea of the mouth, so let me help you. Let me help you get a statement out there that's going to get people to stop hating
you. Yeah, like LeBron's going to listen to you.
If he could, well, he only listens to his best friends, right? Oh, those are my best friends. What makes them so smart? Just because you were friends with them? You know the lunatics I was friends with when I was a kid? Oh, my God.
You went to college. You're out. He's not going to listen to you.
But... let's go back to LeBron James. Listen to what he said the past couple of days, and I'll tell you exactly how he can make things better. Daryl Morey, GM of the Rockets, tweeted out support for anti-government protesters in Hong Kong about 2 weeks ago. As soon as that happened, the relationship between China and the NBA just went to crap. China was very upset, wanted to cancel events, cancel games. Players didn't have the meet and greets and the experience they were supposed to have on this goodwill tour of China over the past 10 days. Many people are upset about this, both in the NBA, outside of the NBA, in China, and the protesters. Could we stand behind Daryl Morey? Well, we could if there wasn't so many dollars at stake, because China is one of the biggest consumers of the NBA product outside of the United States. Adam Silver has been running scared the past couple of weeks since this happened. He's not been able to figure out a way to just say, hey, China, back off. It's a GM of the Rockets, all right? Just back off. But China turned this into a big situation because politically maybe this works well for them and could play into the whole trade war with President Trump is what's going on. But this is where LeBron James finally weighs in 2 days ago. Right before the Lakers' previous preseason game against the Warriors, he was asked his thoughts on Daryl Morey's tweet about having support for protesters in Hong Kong who are protesting for better human rights in China. And this was LeBron's response.
We all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech. But at times, there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you only think about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get a word or sentence feud with Daryl, Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. So many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
So to recap, LeBron James says Daryl Morey was not informed on this. He doesn't want to get into a fight with him. He didn't think about others while he was tweeting, which I guess you could say, of course, he's thinking about others. He's thinking about all the people that want more human rights in China. But to say that financially people could get hurt, you know, I didn't have the tour that I wanted to in China. You know, maybe I'm not going to get as much money, piece of the pie from the various business interests that the NBA has with China. Some of my teammates and friends didn't have the experiences they were supposed to have, and they might not be getting as much money as they should, but this is what he decided to say was important, and then ending it with, well, you know, freedom of speech is great, but negatives come with that too. Basically say, well, you know, hey, you know, freedom of speech isn't all it's cracked up to be. Okay, go live someplace that doesn't have freedom of speech. LeBron James has a chance to fix that when he speaks the next day, because he got a lot of flack for those comments, and rightfully so, because they were dumb. But here is LeBron saying, you know what, no, I meant what I said, and I'm sticking with it.
I mean, it's a tough situation that we're all in right now, as an association, as us as athletes, owners, GMs, whatever, so forth. And I think, you know, when an issue comes up, if you feel passionate about it or you feel like it's something you want to talk about, then so be it. The best thing we can do is, you know, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or you don't quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it. Because it just puts you in a tough position. So
is he saying Daryl Morey shouldn't talk about it because he doesn't know? I can't believe LeBron James knows what Daryl Morey knows and doesn't know about the protests going on in Hong Kong, which, oh, by the way, were originated because people were upset that China was trying to make new extradition laws to get people back to China to face charges and for crimes that maybe sometimes aren't worth, hey, we got to make sure we bring them back to the country to face these charges. Because as we went through yesterday, the litany of basic human rights that China doesn't have, look, people go to prison, journalists go to prison if they insult the government, if they're critical of the government. Many basic forms of communication are outlawed in China because the government wants their message to come out. So this was LeBron James the past couple of days. He's playing tonight, and he wants to turn the page that I'm not going to talk about it again. But I'll tell you, Mike Harmon, I'm about positivity, right? You know what I mean? I'm always about positivity.
Sure.
About fixing things. This is exactly what I would tell LeBron. You want to end it? You really want to end this right now? You can end it. And I'll tell you exactly what to say. It can be a statement you read to reporters. It can be in a Q&A. But this is what you need to get out there. Right? So I'm going to throw this by you, and you tell me if you think this would solve everything for LeBron. He can go on to playing basketball instead of basically telling Daryl Morey to just shut up and GM. Right? You don't like the shut up and dribble that you got from Laura Ingram, but you know, you're basically telling Daryl Morey, shut up and GM.
Now, I can add one note. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, but for those new to the show, those who may have missed it, welcome. Thanks for coming in and being part of our family here. There was a meeting, Dave McMenamin, with a big long article talking about the week that was in China. And when Adam Silver finally arrived, there was a meeting with Adam Silver, LeBron James, the players, and LeBron James, angry, obviously, because this was supposed to be, okay, we'll play a couple exhibition games, but, you know, I didn't do my normal glad-handing tour that I do in China every year because I was doing Space Jam, and now I'm here, so I was hoping to kill two birds with one stone. So, since Daryl Morey's taking money out of all of our pockets, what are you going to do to him? And Adam Silver immediately clapped back, and give him credit for this, because this wasn't publicized, I don't think, enough, is that looked at LeBron James and said, well, what did we do to you when you went after President Trump? And visiting the White House,
yep,
and things in America. Did you think about what that might have meant for business in the United States and fandom here within the States? And obviously, when we look at scale and scope, we're talking $300 million, $330, $350, whatever the estimate is right now in the U.S., whatever percentage that cares about the NBA, split that up, versus $1.4 billion. Right, so for LeBron, I mean, you're looking at a much bigger pie sitting over here. But
look,
for Adam Silver, just because we do bag on him, because publicly he's failed in a lot of spaces.
Sure.
And the statements that were put out, while they were nice in sentiment, really had no teeth to them at all. Here he actually did clap back on LeBron James for once.
It is kind of tough to look bad standing next to LeBron with this, because LeBron clearly has shown that I am all for human rights and criticizing the government when they do things that are wrong. as long as it doesn't interfere with my bank account. And the China thing interferes with my bank account. He doesn't seem to be concerned at all with what goes on in other parts of the world, but here I'm going to do it. Which is why I say, when you want to stand up for human rights, you can't just pick and choose, and then you certainly can't basically just tell everybody, well, I got money interest over here, so this is business. So I'm not going to say
anything. Yeah, but spiritually and emotionally.
Here's what I would tell LeBron to say. And if LeBron says this, this solves everything.
All right, lay it on me.
All right, here it is. I want to apologize to Daryl Morey. First thing, I want to apologize to Daryl Morey.
Yeah, that's not happening.
All right?
But ain't happening.
Everybody.
It's a little listen, too late.
Everybody.
I'm so sorry.
Everybody loves when someone says they're sorry. And sometimes it's so underrated, but you could be the worst guy in the world, do something really bad, but if you say you're sorry, then people will automatically forgive you to an extent, regardless of whether or not you mean it or what an apology even means, but they will forgive you because we love people saying you're sorry. Think about every aspect of your life. When someone says they're sorry to you, it always means a lot. I apologize to Daryl Morey. I get criticized for my beliefs many times. And after having time to reflect on this, it was wrong of me to basically insult him. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, which I and anyone else has the right to agree or disagree with. So that's the first part. That takes care of Daryl Morey's uninformed and what's he doing, costing us money. Then the second part. I didn't mean to come off glib and flippant. It was a very trying week for us in China. And then he can go on to explain some of the things that happened. I was very frustrated. It was not an experience that I wanted. I wanted everything to go well with us and China, who was a big partner of ours, and it carried over here to the United States, and I let my frustration boil over from that past week, which I wanted to go really well. And I'm sorry for that. That is all you have to say, then say, I'm really not going to say anything else on this. I've said what I said, and I've apologized, and that's it. And if you say those two things, everybody will forgive you. Say, okay, you were frustrated. You said some things you didn't write. We still like you. I'm okay with it. Does that take care of it?
You know what happens to take care of it? October 22nd. And the NBA season starts, and then he'll be talking about plays made, not made, etc., and that'll be it.
So zero dark 23?
I don't think he needs to say another word. I don't think it's going to help. If nothing else, it'll be like, who forced him to apologize now?
Well, it's gotten past the NBA part. It's where now average people are going, boy, LeBron James. If this was just an NBA thing,
right,
now, I would
but you're
say,
not,
okay.
You're not winning him back, right? At this point,
I think you say, like I said, you say you're sorry, you apologize.
No, time heals all wounds. So this goes into the background, because everybody's going to just say, well, we always know everybody's looking out for themselves and their dollars. And LeBron, for all the goodwill that he's had socially here in the States, he gave a lot of that back this past week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So many big NFL stories to get to, and no one better to talk to right now. Senior writer and insider at Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Klemko. It is the aforementioned Robert Klemko. What's happening, bud?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. You listen, I heard that you were actually in the Jalen Ramsey trade, so I'm sorry that that happened. Hopefully you'll enjoy Jacksonville.
I have to leave Denver?
Yes. That's all.
And they're
happen.
On an upswing, too.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you.
Do they have recreational or medicinal available in Florida?
You know what?
No state income tax. That's a help.
Oh, there's that. Okay. Three-foot rule. There's that, too. So there's a bunch of things in Florida. You know, the thing about this Jalen Ramsey trade, Robert, is that after the day, we've had the day to figure things out. The Rams make this trade for Ramsey. They trade away two first-round picks in the fourth with no, quote, guarantee that he's going to sign a long-term deal. I got to think that's coming soon, right?
Yeah, you know, I think they'll take that risk. I think that they feel like he's a good enough player that they can offer him the moon and still feel good about it. I mean, they got Brandon Cook signed to a long-term deal as soon as they traded for him. And it was a big deal because it was before they re-upped Aaron Donald, who they knew and who they knew they wanted to keep around. So I don't think they have any qualms about taking on a new player and giving him a long-term deal. It's just does he want to be there long term? I don't know why he wouldn't. I mean, obviously the quarterback is a question right now, but Sean McVay, one of the hottest young head coaches in the league, great defense, great defensive coordinator. I mean, you go into a situation where as a DB, you've got Aaron Donald and Dante Fowler Jr. in front of you rushing the passer, and you're living in L.A. where a lot of guys train in the offseason. I don't know why he wouldn't want that.
Did they put blinders on Roger Goodell when he talked about there being no tanking in the NFL right now?
You know, I don't think that he wants to broach that subject of a lottery, because I think then you start to create the expectation among fans that this is okay, that we are putting in place a system to deal with teams that might tank, as opposed to just saying that no team is tanking and keeping up this kind of myth that you can't tank in the NFL.
And then the fact that we still have potentially on the table the 17th game added to the season. Let's face it, week four of the preseason, guys that the next day all get to take their jerseys and go on to their private lives.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this on this show before. You know, they talk about an 18-game season or a 20-game season, and then the NFL will begin to see it as a compromise to just do 17 games. On the one hand, it makes sense. I mean, they went from 12 games to 14 games to 16 games a long time ago, decades ago. And obviously, we have larger rosters than before, and guys are in better physical shape, better endurance. So, you know, I think it was always going to happen. But I think the NFLPA stance will be, if you've got guys signing on for an extra game, then we need 1/17th more money added on to all these contracts, or at the very least, more of a bump to the salary cap than was already scheduled.
Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated Insider, with us here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. All right, so while Roger Goodell is talking in Florida today, other news in Florida, Josh Rosen loses his job again. Ryan Fitzpatrick takes over. Meanwhile, Marcus Mariota speaks today after being benched for Ryan Tannehill, saying, hey, this is not the end of my career. I'm going to fight through this. I find myself having a hard time believing these guys, after this year, are going to find starting jobs somewhere in the NFL.
I don't think that Rosen will find a starting job, but I think he has a better chance at having a longer NFL career than Mariota, because there's a lot of sympathy for the situation that Josh has been in. It's something like 7 or 8 coordinators in 5 years. He never really had a shot. And I think people will see him the way that a lot of people saw Chad Henne. There are still people that think Chad Henne would have been a long-term success as a starter in the NFL if he hadn't been drafted into such an awful situation and just bounced around teams with horrible offensive lines. So I think Josh Rosen will get that second opportunity. Mariota, on the other hand, I think what we've seen is that, with the exception of a Tyrod Taylor, there are very few quarterbacks who rely on their feet who end up having long careers as backups and getting another chance to be a starter. I mean, you can count on one hand the number of guys that we've considered dual threat quarterbacks or mobile quarterbacks who stick around in the NFL and get another opportunity after being given a several year audition as a starter. And I think the reasoning behind that is that, you know, if you have a starting quarterback who's a pocket guy, then you don't want to adjust your offense to fit another guy's skill set just because your pocket guy, you know, is banged up for a couple weeks. So you want to get guys that are very similar as backups. And then, so I think players like Marcus Mariota end up losing in that equation.
Robert, we've seen a number of trades, right? And obviously the Rams make a couple. Two-part question. Number one, do they have enough assets to go find the offensive lineman they so desperately need? And two, is it going to be an active final 10 days here or so as we get towards the trade deadline? Seems like a lot of teams potentially in position to make some moves here.
I think you'll see another move from the Rams, honestly. I think that they'll take the rest of their draft capital and try to go get a cornerstone type player on the offensive line from one of these franchises that realizes that at this point of the season that they're not playoff bound, and maybe they don't have the quarterback, or they're going to draft the quarterback next year. So what the hell? Let's stock up and get rid of an up and coming offensive lineman like Miami did earlier in this season. So, you know, I was surprised this offseason that they didn't pump more resources into that offensive line just because they were old there. You know, it was the oldest position group. They knew they needed to get an heir apparent for Andrew Whitworth, and they didn't go out and get depth at that position. So I think that Les Snead will do, you know, what he's been doing for the past 3 years, and he'll just trade the future away for a shot to win now, which, you know, it got him to the Super Bowl last year. If they'd won, you know, I think everybody, several more teams going that route and going all in. But right now, I think that they're the best candidate for another big trade.
All right, Robert, lastly, let's look at the game tomorrow night. Kansas City coming off of two straight losses. Denver is starting to feel good about themselves. I smell a lot of trouble for Kansas City here. I know that I've heard many people go, oh, they're going to get it right. They're going to get it right. But, man, this is a tough matchup on a short week.
It is. And I think Kansas City's big problem is that they really haven't been able to develop a consistent rapport between these receivers and Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill coming back, I think, changes that, and I think they'll get on the right track here. His suspension was hugely damaging to them. But with him back, I'm not really worried about Kansas City at all. And I have no hope for Denver long-term in this division. So maybe if they had Chubb still there. But with him out for the season and Joe Flacco at quarterback, I think it's a coin flip for them every week.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Robert Klemko. That's at Robert Klemko, Sports Illustrated senior NFL writer and insider. Robert, as always, my friend, appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Been great to talk to you guys.
Have a safe trip to Jacksonville.
Great stuff there.
He got traded. It's a final.
Great
Kansas
stuff
City.
There.
Yeah, I mean, with no Eric Fisher.